Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I would like to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, very much for coming tonight to this fourth lecture in our special series on the Chatur Shloks of the Bhagavad Gita, the four essential key verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Those four verses are 10th chapter, text 8, 9, 10, and 11. So tonight we are wrapping up this very special lecture series. We've come all the way from Texas to give this special lecture series. And this is, of course, I will be giving another lecture tomorrow night, but that'll be a special surprise verse. But this is the lecture series on these four verses that was concluded tonight. This is text number 11 in chapter 10. Tesham Eva Anukampa Artam Aham Ajnana Jam Tamaha Nashayami Atma Bhava Sta Jnana Dipena Bhashvata Tesham Evanukampartam Aham Ajnana Jam Tamaha Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Dipena Bhashvata Tesham Evanukampartam Aham Ajnana Jam Tamaha Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Dipena Vashvata. Tesham, for them, Eva, certainly, Anukampa, Artam, to show special mercy. Aham, I, Ajnana, Jam, due to ignorance. Tamaha, darkness. Nashayami, dispel. Atmabhava, within their hearts. Sta, situated. Jnana, of knowledge. Dipena, with the lamp. Bhashvata, glowing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, this is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased, and by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association, through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased with the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely submitted to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service, and rather as the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. Om jnana timananda shaganjana shalakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has come to me here in the darkness of ignorance and is forcing my eyes open with this torchlight of transcendental knowledge, of Vedic wisdom. So, this is the fourth of the four key verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And this instruction is not only meant for Arjuna. It is not only meant for some historical study or some literary study. These are very potent, poignant instructions for each and every one of us. How we can get out of the consciousness of this material existence, which is temporary, ignorant, and full of misery. This knowledge is meant to bring us to that platform of eternal existence, which is completely free from all types of illusion and all types of suffering. There's nothing more valuable than you can have millions and billions of dollars and try to spend it in the marketplace on something very, so-called valuable, but it will not stack up to this. This is the most valuable. What you're hearing right now at this very minute is the most valuable thing that you can achieve anywhere in the world. There's nothing like this. Even in the Vedas, we know that there's a treasure of the demigods. His name is Kuvera. And the demigods have unlimited wealth and all sorts of rubies and sapphires and diamonds and gold. Wealth beyond our wildest imaginations. But all that wealth of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, it does not even equal one syllable of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the greatest treasure, the greatest wealth. Krishna is saying, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts. So there's actually a person right now in your heart. There's a person. His name is Krishna. And he's in your heart right now, this very minute. Krishna is there. He's not just there on the altar. He's actually there in your heart. He's not only there in Golok, in the spiritual world, but he's right there in your heart right now. And what does he do? He says, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Now the previous verse tells us the qualifier for having our ignorance destroyed. He says, to those who are constantly devoted and disturbing me with love, I give them the understanding in which they can come to me. And to show them special mercy, you see, that's the verse. The them refers to those who are constantly devoted. So this is a special perk for those who are constantly devoted to Krishna. Of course, he's in the heart of everyone, that's a fact. But those who are constantly devoted to him get this special perk. Just like when people go for a job nowadays, and especially high-end jobs in the corporate world. They don't only ask about the salary, they want to know what are the perks that I get along with this job. Do I get a nice office? You know, do I get a company car? You know, what kind of perks go along with a job? So here Krishna is giving the perks for being devoted to him. And actually there's one perk here, and this perk is so good that it overrides every perk you could ever dream of having. And that perk is that Krishna from within your heart will destroy all the ignorance. So even the Buddhists say the same thing. The root cause of suffering is ignorance, and that's a fact. The root cause of all suffering is ignorance. So if you're in a suffering condition right now, it's not the external situation which is actually causing your suffering. What's actually causing your suffering is your ignorance. So all you have to do to get rid of that ignorance is to devote yourself to Krishna. And how do you do that? Well, that's what we're here for. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness is here to teach you how to devote yourself to Krishna so you can get out of suffering and get out of the ignorance. And as Krishna points out in another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Satatam kritayantomam, always chanting my glories. So this chanting process is not the activity of naive sentimentalists. This is the activity of those persons who are highly learned in Vedic wisdom. The chanting of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. This chanting is an act of devotion. Actually, the first act of devotion and the easiest one is to hear. If you can find a realized soul who actually has understood Krishna perfectly, you see, and you can hear from a realized soul, that's the easy point of access. It's like when I flew in the other day, I have my e-course, I have thousands of students all over the world. So I immediately know where's the internet connection, you see. We tried the one here, it was difficult. So I had to find what is the easiest internet connection here in the temple. So my work goes on nicely. So in the same way, we have to find what is the easiest way to connect with Krishna. Because that is the most essential thing we can do, is connect ourselves with Krishna. So the most easy way is you have to hear from a person who is realized in Krishna consciousness. This means a guru or a highly advanced devotee of the Lord, who has actually realized the truths of Krishna. So if we hear from such a person, then it's very easy for us to be connected. And then what do we do after we have heard? The next step is we chant. Because the spiritual master, the advanced devotee, the realized devotee, will tell us that if you chant these names, this will prove to Krishna that you're devoted to him. And then from within the heart, he'll completely destroy all the darkness of ignorance, which is the root cause of all suffering. So by chanting, that indeed happens. Now some people say, well, I don't really believe that. You know, every church says if you pray to Jesus or Allah or Jehovah, that, you know, you'll become happy. And I think that's just a bunch of religious hocus pocus. There's many skeptics all over the whole world. There's a growing number of skeptics because when you go to the university, they teach you the atheistic science. Of course, science can be used by a theist also. Just like we have a scientist here who's a theist. But there's also many atheistic people who are using science to promote atheism. That's a fact. It's a fact. They want to deny the existence of God, and they use science to do that. They misuse science for that purpose. But actually here, we have a positive science, and that is a scientific system where you can actually realize the truth as it is. Because what do we do in science? We take some powerful instruments. It's like in your geology science. You have some powerful instruments for measuring, determining what's under the surface of the earth, you see. They've developed some powerful instruments for doing that. And every science has instruments, microscopes or telescopes, you see, depending on the science. What is it? A microphone? Oh, I need some water. I'm sounding like a croaking toad. All right. I'm so caught up in the philosophy, I was forgetting what my voice sounded like. So you... okay. I'm not the body, but still I have to drink some water so the body can be proper shape. So yes, every science has its instruments. So what are the instruments of this science, the bhakti science? We have our ear, and we have our tongue. And we also have our hand. We can clap in the kirtan. So these are instruments that God has given. We don't have to invent the instruments in the laboratory. God has already given us the ears. He's given us the tongue. He's given us the hands. He's given us a body. We can bow down before the deities. We can bow down before Guru. He's given us all the instruments we need to practice this science of Krishna Bhakti. And if we do so, the result will be as described here. In science, they try to do that. We try to, you know, there's so many things we don't know, the unknown. So through science, we want to move back the unknown and have more known. That's the whole idea in science. You know, keep moving reducing the unknown things and increasing the known things. And so the one science will go into this area and the chemicals, another will go into different species of life, another will go into the mind, the psychology science. But this science, the beauty of the Krishna science is, when you become learned in this science, then you know everything. One who knows, because Krishna actually is the source of everything. He describes that in the eighth verse of this chapter. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. So when you actually know Krishna, when you have that scientific knowledge of Krishna through the science of bhakti, by perfecting the instruments of hearing and chanting, then when you know Krishna, then actually you know everything. You can understand what is geology, what is psychology, what is astronomy, what is biology. Every science becomes understood because you've captured the essence. This is why Prabhupada, even though he had never been trained in science, he could speak with learned PhDs in any field of science, and they were just absolutely impressed with Prabhupada's profound wisdom. And they felt enlightened and uplifted by hearing him. And even they would talk about different science, like chemistry or this or that, physics. Prabhupada could talk with everyone. And they would just be astounded at his deep knowledge of everything. He could talk with theologians, he could talk with biologists, he could talk with anyone. He could talk with a simple village man. Prabhupada knew how to talk to everyone. Even one time in Europe, some simple villager came who had no philosophical inclination whatsoever. He wasn't really in any state of mind to be preached to even. So Prabhupada just sang a bhajan for him. He just sang him a nice bhajan, devotional bhajan. And the man was so happy, he thanked Prabhupada and then he went on. So Prabhupada was very expert at every type of person. He knew just how to touch that person's heart and help them to move another step closer to Lord Sri Krishna. The spiritual master is like that. He understands what the person needs and he engages that person in just such a way that they can get a little, even just a little touch of bhakti in the heart. Varmanda brahmite kona bhagavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that after wandering through the universe up and down from the higher planets to the lower planets, one living entity who is very, very fortunate receives by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna the seed of bhakti within the heart. So this combined mercy of Guru and Krishna is very important. You can't have Krishna without Guru, and you can't have Guru without Krishna. Or the other way is, you by the mercy of Guru, you get Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, you get Guru. So they go hand in hand. And what do we get from them? We get the seed of bhakti planted in our heart. And once that seed of bhakti is planted, then what do? Just like when you grow some plant in your garden, what do you do? Do you not water the plant regularly? Do you have a garden in your house? You do. So you water the plants. And also, don't you pick the weeds as well? Yes. Because we all know the weeds grow much faster than the plants. And if you let them, they'll just choke out that plant and steal all the fertilizer that you put in the soil. So, when the seed of bhakti is planted in our heart, we have to water that seed. And how do we do it? By regularly coming to the temple? By regularly reading Bhagavad, especially Bhagavad Gita? If everyone should have a copy of this Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have one, the devotees here can arrange for you to get one. By regularly studying the Bhagavad Gita, and by regularly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when Guru and Krishna give us the seed of bhakti, then we have to chant, we have to read, and we have to regularly come to the temple to associate with the devotees. And if we also avoid sinful activities like smoking and drinking and illicit sexual connection and meat eating, which are the weeds, which will choke out the creeper, give up sinful activity and chant God's holy name, then we will find an amazing awakening in the heart that Krishna is burning away all of the ignorance, which means all the suffering is going away. We've actually been suffering for millions of lifetimes. Sometimes people say, I'd like to know what I was in my last lifetime. But actually, maybe we wouldn't want to know, depending on our karma, you see, what we've been through in previous lifetimes. The most important thing is to take wherever we are right now and make it perfect by surrendering ourselves to Lord Krishna. Krishna is our eternal Lord and Master. He's there in the spiritual world right now waiting for us to come back. When will my lost children come back to me, you see? They somehow foolishly wandered away from home, like a little child. Sometimes the teenagers run, they call them runaways. They run away from home. So actually, we are all runaways. We ran away from our father, Lord Sri Krishna. And we thought, well, I think I'll see if I can be happier living outside of home, outside of my home with Lord Krishna. But sometimes the child, you know, thinks, foolishly thinks he can be happier if he runs away from home. Of course, many of the parents nowadays aren't very good. Maybe they are better off running away from home. But Krishna is a good parent. He's a good parent. And we were foolish to run away from home and come here in this samsara loka, this place of birth and death. So Krishna knows we're his runaway children. He personally comes, isn't it? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He comes here to rescue us. And he sends his representatives, all these great acharyas in India. You see, they are all messengers sent by Krishna, these great acharyas. So India is a very special place in the world because this is where Krishna personally comes. This is where the acharyas appear. Of course, the acharyas can be anywhere. They travel all over the world. It's not that they're only in India. Prabhupada proved that. He was the first fully realized acharya who spread all over the whole world, this Krishna consciousness. And he has created now many, many acharyas who are situated all over the world and traveling all over the world to give this knowledge so that people can wake up from their suffering condition in the material illusion of I am this body. This is our basic problem right now. We're misidentifying as our bodies. We're thinking I'm American, I'm Russian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Indian and American. But if we can simply realize that I'm not the body, I'm an eternal spiritual being. And the body may get sick, it may get old, it may die, but I don't. I'm not subject to birth, death, old age and disease. It has nothing to do with me, the Atma within. Just like I may have a shirt, and after a while it may get worn out, and I have to, throw it away, basically. But I'm not this shirt. So the body will eventually wear out, but it's not me. It's like I give up one shirt and I put on another shirt. So we've been going from one body to another body. But as long as we identify that I am this body, then we're forced to take another one and another one and another one. But if we can realize I'm not the body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, then for us there is no more birth. Krishna promises this in the Gita. He says, punar janma navijyate, they never take birth again. So Krishna has assured us, he's given us his promise, he's given his word to us. So all we have to do to get free from all of the suffering of material existence and make this our last lifetime in this material world is to fully dedicate ourselves to Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. His flute playing is so sweet. We try to enjoy music in this world, but once we hear the sweet music of Krishna's flute, we will no longer be attracted to any music in this material world. It won't appeal to us anymore. Not the Bollywood theme songs, not the Western music. Nothing will. Once we hear Krishna's flute, there will be no attraction whatsoever for any of this music in the mundane world. Of course, we have to become pure devotees to hear that. And it's going to be well worth it. It's going to be the most beautiful music we've ever heard in our life when we actually can hear Krishna playing on his flute. So Krishna now has manifested his wonderful mercy upon us in the form of this Bhagavad Gita knowledge. And his dear most devotee, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So if we take advantage of this wonderful mercy of Krishna, take shelter of this of the bhakti process, chanting, hearing, associating with devotees, then very quickly we will enter into that state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness, where there's no suffering, there's no illusion, and there's no anxiety. So, are there any questions? Yes.
You talk about suffering, but a person may think that he has a good job, he has a good education, he has a good family, so there is no suffering.
We see that people who are... This is a good, very good question. You're wondering, well, how is that? That someone may say, I'm not really suffering. So what's the condition, what's the real situation? Right? It's a question? Okay. Now we do see that there are three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Persons who are fixed in the mode of goodness, who are very pious, Actually, they're generally speaking very happy in this material world, that's a fact. Like many people from India, for example, they're very pious. They're vegetarian, they pray regularly, they try to be kind to everyone. So they have a certain happiness by that piety. But Krishna says, dukhalayam ashashvatam. This material world is a suffering place and it's temporary. So even if someone who is very, very pious, who is entitled to a lot of material happiness, you know, Krishna blesses them with nice children who are well behaved, with a good job, you know, with nice prestige in society. Even such a person whose life is for the most part sukha, happiness, even they have to face the reality of shashvatam, and it's temporary. It's only temporary. So to know deep down that we're going to, even if I have a nice, wonderful, happy situation right now, to know that I'm going to lose it, that is actually another type of anxiety. It's this gnawing away inside the heart to know I'm going to lose this at any time. So that's why transcendental happiness is the permanent, true, lasting happiness. Because if I can base my happiness on a loving relationship with Krishna, which that relationship will never be broken by anything, nothing can take that away. That's eternal. So that will bring me to the position of total, complete happiness. Even when the happiness of a very pious person is sometimes disturbed. We see actually pious people sometimes, some horrible thing will happen to their family and they wonder why. We were so good, why did this happen to us? You know, our dear child was killed in an automobile accident. Why did this happen to us? And they're very confused and bewildered. They were very happy, and now they're so unhappy. They don't know why this happened to them. They don't realize that actually the law of karma is always at work. That for every pious and every impious activity we performed in the past, the reaction will come sooner or later. So even we may be happy now, we may have some bad karma just waiting to come. But if you surrender to Krishna, this is the beauty of surrendering to Krishna, then all your karma is erased. Complete surrender to Krishna wipes out all your past karma. So you don't have to worry about some reactions coming from past activities. Just by engaging in Krishna consciousness, Krishna then rewards you. According to your degree of surrender, he bestows all blessings upon you. So one should not be fooled by material happiness, which is a result simply of karma. That karma will eventually be exhausted. Good karma will eventually be exhausted. And once it is, then you have to start taking the reactions for your impious activities. So the key is, the insider's secret is, don't engage in anything impious, just engage in everything to be offered in Krishna bhakti. And that way there's no karmic reactions from anything that you do. You don't create any new karma, and all past karma is completely eliminated. Krishna guarantees that. He says, Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. He says, I will wipe out all your past karma. I'll just wipe it out. Give you a clean slate, clean bill of health. Don't worry, just surrender to me completely. Questions, Mark?
Materialistic of worldly responsibilities. So it seems like it's pushing you away from moving towards Krishna. So is that something you should do or shouldn't?
Is that something?
The materialistic, like, so, you know, getting married, having children, and all those things.
So what is the question?
Should we do or should we not?
Should we do it or should we not? In classical Vedic culture, We'll first explain, and then we'll explain how we would apply that in the modern era. In the classical Vedic culture, from the age of five, the young boy goes to Gurukula. And he studies under Guru until he is 25 years old, 20 years of training. And then he can go, because he's properly trained now, how to be fixed in Krishna Bhakti. Then, whether he decides to be a grihastha and pursue some, you know, occupation and have a family, or he wants to stay a brahmachari and be a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Because he's gotten very good training as a brahmachari. Now he can go either way and be fine. He can take up a profession, take up a career, and, you know, in some way within the Vedic culture, and be Krishna conscious, purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. So what do we do now? We don't have the brahmachari training anymore. We just immediately taught mundane subject matters, and maybe a little prayer, you know, before a little prayer, a little puja maybe, but there's no solid training in Vedic knowledge now. So that's why we have our classes here. We make up for lost time. It's, you know, better late than never. If you become fixed in Krishna consciousness, the ideal situation in the modern context is become fixed in Krishna consciousness, take shelter of a guru, just like you would have as a brahmachari. You take a guru, take a guru, and consult your spiritual master. Because he will study your nature and your personality, and he'll tell you what is best. In most cases, it's, you know, get a career and get a job. But there are some rare cases where someone actually would be better suited to, you know, study Vedic wisdom and become a preacher of Bhagavad Gita. But that's more rare. For most people, we recommend you go to the university, you get a good education, get a nice job, and be a good members of our Hare Krishna movement. So you can continually be reminded of this knowledge, this wisdom, so that you will not be polluted by the materialistic atmosphere of a university or a corporate world situation. Because it's very mundane. Everywhere is sex, 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 sex. Sex at the water coolers, sex here, everywhere is sex going on, sexual energy. The colleges, the corporate world situation. So many affairs are going on, marriages are being broken, people who aren't even married are having all kinds of sexual relationships. Very polluted atmosphere, especially in America. But if you make yourself fixed in Krishna consciousness, if you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you chant japa mala regularly, you offer your food to Krishna before eating, have a little altar at home. If you're married, you know, you engage your wife also in Krishna consciousness, and your kids, you teach them how to be devotees. I have a very nice disciple in back in Austin. And he comes to the temple as often as he can. He brings his little boy with him. The little boy even as a little baby, every time the father would offer obeisances, he'd lay his baby boy on the floor and offering obeisances. The baby doesn't even know what's going on. All he knows is his father is laying him down on the floor and picking him up again. But as he gets older and he keeps doing it, now he's knowing when he sees his father bow down, he bows down also automatically. He knows this is the time to bow down. So in this way, whether you're a family man or you're a renunciate, it doesn't matter. You just, whatever you have, you use it all for Krishna. You see, you just engage everything in Krishna's service. So it doesn't really matter whether you're a brahmachari living in the ashram, or a sannyasi traveling all over the world and preaching, whether you're a guru taking disciples, or whether you're a corporate professional, you see. Whatever situation Krishna has placed you in, use it in his service and you become perfect. We were studying yesterday at the home program, the actual duties of the different orders. And the vanaprasas, they have to go into the forest and just live and dress themselves with tree bark. These are not very practical now in this time, especially in the cold winters here in Colorado. Can you imagine just wearing tree bark? You see? But Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti is so beautiful and so wonderful. Even without doing all these different rules and regulations or different orders in the Vedic culture, just chanting Hare Krishna, hearing from the sadhus, you can achieve all perfection just by bhakti yoga without having to worry about all these different rules of the different social orders. So don't worry whether you're a sannyasi or a grihastha. Whatever position you're in, you just utilize whatever position you have now for Krishna. Are you married?
No.
You're a student? No. Or you're single or professional?
I'm the corporate.
Huh?
I'm the corporate professional.
Single corporate professional. Well, you just use that for Krishna. Use that position. Corporate professional means there is some income. So you take whatever money you need to cover for your own personal needs, and then the rest of the money you engage in helping the Krishna consciousness movement spread forward, because the preaching of Krishna consciousness requires money. The electricity has, we have to pay the utility department, we have to pay the printer for the books, there's so many expenses. So you can be a valuable servant to help this mission of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to go forward. You work your job, you live comfortably, whatever you need for your needs, but then whatever excess is there, you donate that money to help Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. So this is a missionary movement which is meant to educate the entire world. So you can assist that mission by remaining in the corporate world and giving some portion of your earnings to help. It would be a very valuable and wonderful thing for you to do. And that, Arjuna was also a professional. And he was thinking he should give up his job and just be a sadhu. But Krishna said, no, I want you to use your profession for me. You remain in your profession, but offer the fruits to me. You see. Fight the battle. So your battle is in the corporate world. You're every Monday morning. So you fight your battle of Kurukshetra every week and give as much as you can of the fruit of your fight to Krishna's service directly. And that way you become perfect. Just as Arjuna became perfect, you will also become perfect. Questions? What is it? Personal practice? Oh yeah, and then at home in the morning you have to have a puja time, meditation time. You get the japa mala. Do you have japa mala? Make sure he gets. Show him the japa mala. You get the japa mala, and every day you chant 1.5 to 2 hours on the japa mala, 16 rounds. So you should do a daily meditation chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and follow our principles, which you may be doing already. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, and no gambling. And whatever food you cook your own food at home. Oh, that's your parents. Oh, so you live at home with them?
No, he doesn't live with us.
Huh?
He doesn't live with us. He lives in Chicago.
Oh, you're visiting?
Yes.
Well, we have our nice temple in Chicago. You go there?
Oh, I don't.
Hare Krishna temple?
No, I don't.
Yeah, we're very nice. And what is it, Evanston? Near Evanston. Very nice temple. Oh, so nice. There's deities you wouldn't believe. You think Radha Govinda are beautiful. Why do you see Kishore Kishori? Your heart will melt. Absolutely not when you see Kishore Kishori. So yes, I'll be coming to Chicago also. I'm doing a North American tour. I have a disciple in Chicago, another gentleman getting ready to become a disciple. So if you give me your contact information, then we can look you up when we come to Chicago to give you more personal instructions. If you like, I mean, we don't want to impose on you, but if you would like, we will do. If you would like that, we can do. So, yes, you chant every day in the japa mala, you offer your food to Lord Krishna before you eat. And then just by that eating, you're making spiritual progress. When food is offered to Krishna, it's transformed from material energy into spiritual energy. And just by putting that food stuff in the mouth, your whole body is purified, your brain becomes purified. And with that purified brain, you can realize transcendental knowledge and actually understand what is being spoken here. What is Krishna really mean when he says, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance? You'll actually realize exactly what he's talking about. And you'll become the happiest person in that whole company. I guarantee you. You'll be like you come to work, you'll be like a shining lamp. You'll be like a shining lamp in a corporation full of ignorance. And people will wonder. People will wonder. In fact, I know I have a godbrother who was working in a corporation. And there was another person sitting beside him in the corporation, some kind of consulting company. He was a devotee. And every day he would bring a Bhagavad Gita and he would just set it on his desk. And this other, he was actually from India and his name was Naveen Krishna Das. And he would sit there every day and put the Bhagavad Gita. And this worker, his name was, what was his name? Randy Meyer. So Randy would every day sit there and he was looking at this Bhagavad Gita, wondering, what is this? So Naveen was preaching to him. So now Randy Meyer is no longer Randy Meyer. His name is Ramiya Das. He also became a disciple. Just because somebody is working in the same corporate job, sitting nearby on the desk, he always brought a Bhagavad Gita and laid it on his desk. And when he had a spare minute, he would read a few lines on his break or whatever. So he was just really, what is this Bhagavad Gita? So in this way, if you become fixed in Krishna consciousness, then people will notice there's something different about you. You have some peace, some joy that we did not have. But you tell us, please tell us, how do you get all this peace? And you say, well, do you really want to know? Yes, tell me. You sure you really want to know? All right, every day I chant the holy names of God. I read this Bhagavad Gita. And I go to the Hare Krishna temple. Oh, really? Will you take me with you? Oh, yes, you can come. You see? So in this way, your whole life, you can have a wonderful, happy life as a representative of Krishna. If you will place yourself at the lotus feet of Krishna as his humble servant, then he will bless you that you can actually be his emissary in this material world. You can represent him. And that will give you the greatest joy and happiness even when you're in the midst of your corporate job. That you can show yourself to be an ideal, saintly person while you're doing your work. And when Prabhupada was a young man, he also was working a corporate job. Actually, he was, because of some connection his father had, when he graduated from college, he was around 22 years old, and he was made the manager of a whole chemical factory at the age 22. Can you imagine? But Prabhupada said that whatever I did, I was very expert. And the owner of the factory, Dr. Bose, he was so... he was very, very impressed that this person is very expert. Prabhupada did everything very expertly. So this is one of the characteristics and qualities of someone who is Krishna conscious. A Krishna conscious person becomes expert in everything, even in material affairs like their job or anything. So by becoming Krishna conscious, you'll find that you become better at your job also. Not like you can't function in the material world anymore if you become Krishna conscious. Actually, when you become Krishna conscious, you become better and more expert than the other workers in the corporation. You probably get promoted. I know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is one of our great acharyas, he was employed by the British government. And he was the best worker they had. Anytime they had some big problem, they'd always send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to take care of it. He was a magistrate. He was, doing judgments. And the other magistrates would spend so long to write the judgments. He would do it in just a few minutes, finished. Everybody else would be toiling on another day, and he'd be done and go home early. Because he could do it with such expertise. So you become Krishna conscious. You regularly chant the names of the Lord, offer your food to the Lord, go to the temple. They're on Lund Avenue, you will find you become very expert. You'll be able to accomplish things better in less time. So you'll become so much appreciated by the bosses there You feel a lot more peaceful at the job, because you become very expert. And you're, at the same time, your Krishna bhakti will be expanding in your heart more and more and more and more and more. And you become the happiest person in the world by expanding your Krishna consciousness. So, I think we can, there's no questions, we can stop here. No further questions, we've been going now for almost an hour, 50 minutes and 27 seconds. And we thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.